One of America's best political humorists and satirists, Bill Melberg, joins me every Friday morning at 8:30 to wind down your busy, busy week. Good morning to you, Bill Melberg.
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Morning.
Good morning, Connect FM listeners at 93.5. Good morning, Connect FM listeners at 95.3. And good morning, Connect FM listeners on the internet. I think that covers everything.
Yeah, it certainly does. I might remind all of those Connect FM listeners, we cover the week's news in detail right here every Friday morning. So, Bill, what do you think were the biggest news stories this past week?
Well, Stevie and Diane, two stories have dominated the headlines since we last talked. One was Wienergate, which we tastefully avoided a week ago.
Right.
The other was the economy, which in my humble opinion was the real top story of the past week. In fact, it's been the top story of the past 2.5 years, ever since Barack Obama was sworn in as president. And the latest poll numbers, along with the latest unemployment figures, all add up to trouble with a capital T for President Obama's re-election campaign next year. Not to mention trouble for the millions of Americans who have felt the brutal effects of this seemingly endless recession.
Race up, build a railroad, made it wrong. I made a race against time. Yeah, once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, could you spare me a dime? Yeah, once I built a tower to the sun, brick and rivet and lime. Ooh, once I built a tower, now it's done. Buddy, could you spare me a dime?
The economic news and political polls have certainly been bad from the president's perspective this week. Unemployment continues to go up. Home values are, well, they're still going down. Gasoline prices have doubled since Obama took office. 9 of 10 voters think the country's headed in the wrong direction, which is why we have President Obama with us this morning. I do believe he's waiting on our VIP line. Good morning, Mr. President. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Sir, I know you just heard what I said about the bad economic news and the latest opinion polls. It does seem as though your policies haven't really done much to turn things around after 2.5 years in office. Can you and Vice President Biden turn around this economy in the year and a half you have left? In other words, can you get the economy back on track in time to win re-election next year, sir?
Yes, we can.
Mr. President, Illinois Senator Dick Durbin says it's your economy now. Can you keep blaming George Bush if for some reason you don't manage to turn things around by Election Day?
Yes, we can.
Mr. President, given all of the turmoil of these first 2.5 years of your presidency, can you still use hope and change as your theme in 2012?
No, we can't.
Sir, I'm told that your daughters, Sasha and Malia, have come up with a new campaign theme for you next year. In particular, they've been rehearsing a new campaign song for next year. Is this all true?
Yes, it is.
Well, I understand Sasha and Malia are with you in the Oval Office this morning, together with First Lady Michelle Obama. Do you suppose the four of them could give us a little preview of that new uplifting 2012 campaign theme song, sir?
Yes, we can. Hit it, girls. Hang on, America.
Tomorrow, I love you. Tomorrow, you're
only a day away.
Till
Cheers.
Well, wow. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Barack and the Obamas singing their new uplifting song about the sun coming out tomorrow and the dawn of a brighter future for America. And we thank the president and his family for being with us this morning. But now we turn to a more sobering view of the economy, as seen by a billionaire businessman and former presidential candidate. Joining us now from his home in Dallas, Texas, is Mr. Ross Perot. Good morning, sir.
Howdy, Stevie. Good to be with you. And do you know why? Because you're a world-class fellow. That's why.
Well, thank you, Mr. Perot, for those kind words, and thank you for being here. Sir, let me cut to the chase. How would you describe the American economy after 2.5 years of Obamanomics?
Stevie, in a word, catastrophic. I mean, if our ship of state under Captain Obama was named anything other than the United States, it'd be the Titanic. Follow me?
Well, let me ask you this. Has your ship been hit by this terrible economy, sir? Has Obamanomics taken its toll on billionaire Ross Perot?
Are you kidding me? Well, I might be left with just $2 billion instead of $3 billion by the time this community organizer gets out of the White House. By the way, I still don't know what a community organizer does, but I do know they don't know much about running a business. I bet this fellow Obama doesn't even use charts. Of course, Obama's daddy probably never told him what my daddy told me when I was a little boy back in our family farm in Texarkana, Texas.
Well, what did your father tell you, sir?
He said he wanted to be a rich man someday, and I asked him, Daddy, what would you do if you were a rich man? And here's what he told me.
I were a rich man. Yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum. All day long, I bidi-bidi-bum. If I were a wealthy man, you wouldn't have to work hard. Yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum. Lord, who made the lion and the lamb, you decreed I should be what I am. Would it spoil some vast eternal plan? If I were a wealthy man.
Stevie?
Yeah?
I've been singing that same song myself ever since I was a youngster back in Texarkana. And today I am a rich man. But tomorrow, if Obama gets reelected, I might not be. And on that note, it's time for me to go count my money.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Ross Perot. It's time for us to visit our point counterpoint team of Senator John McCain, Republican Arizona, and Congressman Barney Frank, Democrat Massachusetts. Good morning, gentlemen.
Greetings, my friend. Hello, Stevie. Hi, Diane.
Gentlemen, thus far, we've been talking about the economy this morning, but perhaps we should say a few words about...
Wiener music, Stevie. No more. Neither do I, my friend. Neither do I. Don't call me your friend.
Gentlemen, please, please, let's maintain a spirit here of civility and bipartisanship, which is what we do here. I mean, we stay together. It seems Congressman Wiener got bipartisan support, bipartisan criticism, rather, this week, including a comment by the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid. Not the one there. My apologies.
Well, I think he just said, don't call me for help.
I think this is what he said. Yes, sir.
You know, Congressman Wiener, I wish there was some way I can defend him, but I can't. Okay? I'm not here to defend Wiener.
What do you think?
That's all I'm going to say.
What advice would you give him if he asked you?
Call somebody else. Okay.
Wow. No lifeline there, sir.
No,
know, Stevie, you know, there's a word for people like Mr. Weiner.
What word is that?
Well, I don't want to mention it in front of Congressman Barney Frank. Go ahead and say it. I won't be offended. Well, the word is pervert. How dare you use a word like that to describe my fellow Democrat Congressman Weiner? There's a word to describe that word.
And what is that?
Despicable.
Congressman Frank, are you defending Congressman Weiner?
Well, when you put it that way, no. But I do think we need to maintain some fairness and balance.
Well, in the interest of fairness and equal time, we will end today's Point Counterpoint with another song that wasn't played during the media coverage of Wienergate.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dogs? Kids with chicken pox love hot dogs.
Jimmy, I vehemently object to that song. What do they mean, fat kids and sissy kids? That's despicable and politically incorrect. If the shoe fits, Barney, if the shoe fits, my friend.
Senator McCain, that was the last word. And we'll follow that hot dog commercial with a few more good words from our sponsors, and we shall return in just a matter of moments. 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM.
Kids love to bite.
In moments here, we want to go back to Dallas, this time to former President George W. Bush. Good morning, Mr. President.
Howdy, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Mr. President, one of the stories
was
in the news this week concerned the decision by officials at Tiny Goshen College in Indiana to remove our country's national anthem from official school events such as football games and graduation ceremonies.
Yep.
They say the words, sir, to our national anthem reflect violence and warfare, and they find the words unacceptable. Do you have any comments on their decision, sir?
Stevie, I think I should point out, first of all, that their objections are based on their religious beliefs. But I think the school administrators in Goshen, Indiana, have got it wrong. You see, Stevie, our national anthem isn't about war and violence. Oh, sure, Francis Scott Key was describing the Battle of Fort McHenry, which he witnessed during the War of 1812. And he wrote about the rocket's red glare and the bombs bursting in air. But what Key was really describing was the American flag that flew over Fort McHenry during that battle, and which still hangs in the Smithsonian today. He wrote about how that flag survived the bombardment of Fort McHenry, and how that flag symbolizes our country, and the millions of brave men and women who have sacrificed over the years to give us the liberty and freedom which too many Americans seem to take for granted these days. Finally, I'd like to remind those school officials of what our national anthem says in its last verse. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And that star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and home of the brave. And on that note, Stevie, I salute our men and women in uniform. Bless them all, and God bless America.
Wow, Mr. President, I'd like to add a big amen to all of that, and I thank you, sir, for those terrific words. In a week filled with bad news, that was a good way to put things in perspective. And let me also take this opportunity to thank our good friend in Chicago, Bill Melberg, for ending today's show on such a fabulous note. I love that.
I did, too.
I loved it.
Well, Stevie and Diane, we've had our share of problems in this country over the years, and we certainly have our share of problems today. But for all of its faults, all of its problems, this is still the greatest country in the world, and our ability to poke fun at our leaders here every Friday morning is just one small measure of how truly great it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Melberg, that was awesome. Bill, that was really good. Can we lift that up there out of that tape? And I want that back.
I know.
I want to play that again.
Me too.
That was really, really, really good. Bill, you can go to an evening with the presidents.com To learn more about Bill Melberg and his political humor, his live shows that he does all over the place, all over the nation. And,
except we couldn't do this in North Korea.
I don't think you could do this in North Korea. That's a very, very astute point, Bill.
How about that Kim Il-sung? Is that guy crazy or what? End of show.
That's pretty much all you'd get out of that. Hey, listen, buddy, great job. Really appreciate you. Every Friday, 8:30 to 9, with Bill Melberg from Chicago, an alum of the University of Illinois.
Wow.
Thanks, Bart. Appreciate it. And eveningwiththepresidents.com, you can see all kinds of the bits that Bill does. Some of the musical parodies are just unbelievably funny. And he's, boy, that last piece was awesome.
I agree. I got goosebumps.
Well, when are we going to pick that up? I want to run that Monday. Get that back for me. You find it?
I sure will. I'll try to get it up later on this afternoon.
I would love to replay, because that was so well written, so well said about what's going on in Northern Indiana at that college.
The beauty of podcasting, just visit myconnectfm.com and click on our podcast.
All right, we'll have it up a little bit later. Mm-hmm. All right, Diane, have a great day.
You too. Enjoy the day.
I am Stevie J. I'll be back with you Monday morning, bright and early, 7 a.m. Stay with us all day long as we are 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.